Once again, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, where John and Janet join us, and we take a look at the stories you'll find in the Lakeville Journal and even sometimes in the Militant News. Of course, you can find all their stories all the times at tricornernews.com. You can subscribe, become a member there. You can also get, of course, just a regular subscription for home delivery. You can subscribe to one or both papers. It's a convenient place to go, and that's basically where I go first thing. Then I always keep my purchase edition of the Lakeville Journal and Military News just for backup, kind of like you have it hanging around for a week so you can keep referring back to it. Hello, guys. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello there.
Hello.
Well, it will start off here, and I will start off with the National Pizza Day story.
Yes, this is a story on the front page. It's a described as no matter how you slice it, that's the beginning of the article by Leela Hawken. Just having a little fun with National Pizza Day over at the Hotchkiss Library. They observed it and pulled together some pizzas donated by Dino's in Lakeville for the children, and the librarians there put together an assortment of books and facts known about pizza, including, you know, some of us were surprised to learn that 17% of all restaurants in the United States are pizzerias. And we sort of go through just a little bit of chit chat really about pizza. And there's a lovely photograph taken by Leela on the front page as well.
You know, what's interesting about pizza is that Connecticut is recognized as basically the pizza capital of the United States. There's three different restaurants that are in New Haven that are all considered in the top five pizza places in the United States. And also, the first restaurant really selling pizza was known in New Haven. So that's just a little additional pizza information for you out there.
Yes, and I would say that it's not a good idea to start judging pizza establishments because they all believe they have the best.
Absolutely. And we have a couple of great pizza establishments right around here. And you just mentioned one with Dino's and, of course, Eddie Meza. Well, let's move on here and go from pizza to the Northwest Hills Council of Governments. What they were discussing, housing issues, addiction, were spotlighted really majorly in those discussions.
Yes, last week, the Northwest Hills Council of Governments had its meeting in Goshen, and one of the top spotlighted discussions was on housing. There are almost 10,000 households in Litchfield County that are really severely burdened by housing costs, and there are more than 1,000 people on households on waiting lists to get into affordable units, and more than half of those, just about half of those, are seniors. So the story takes a look at what we all know is a bit of a crisis here in the Northwest corner. And it's fed in ways by what the story points out, really strongly rising prices for homes. In Norfolk, housing prices increased 105% in a single year. Cornwall, 77%. And it also takes some time to look over mental health issues that are facing the Northwest corner, basically addiction issues, and it sort of describes the 18-year-old group seeking crisis and needing intervention.
All right, as we continue looking at stories, it's that time of year again. We're entering into the budget season, and taking a look at the story by Patrick Sullivan, the Region 1 budget proposal starts off with a 2.76% increase.
Yes, that's the first glimpse of the next year's budget at the regular Region 1 board meeting. Pointed up that the bottom line for all spending was about $17 million, but that's about a 2.76% increase. Story also goes into detail on each town, Falls Village, Cornwall. Some of them are going down, some of them are going up. And it is definitely a challenge when the budgeteers get together at each town and realize they have another $200,000 they got to find. That's the case in North Canaan and Salisbury. Others actually are going down a little bit. Cornwall is going to go up quite a bit.
I was going to say, because it's such a small town, I would say Cornwall got probably whacked the most this year. And Salisbury and North Canaan basically are used to getting whacked every now and then. But it's that, like we said, this is just the first glimpse, the budget. We'll take a look at more budget hearings. And we hope that people follow this, not only in our videos, when we video the meetings, go to the meetings. And if you can't, watch on video. And if not, the Lakeville Journal does comprehensive coverage of all these meetings. And you can have it in black and white right in front of you that way. Because if you don't follow it there, then you have no right to complain when the budget comes up to vote.
Right.
Something I know people up where I live here on the mountain realize it's a black bear birthing season right now.
Yes, this is a story that I wrote about a talk given by Ginny Apple, who is a master wildlife conservationist. She's a volunteer at DEEP, and she spoke Saturday in Norfolk at the library on a talk sponsored by Great Mountain Forest, which has its own good selection of bears. But this is a story that just looks at the overall situation with bears, you know, the natural history of bears in Connecticut, looking at their habitat, their diet, behavior, and reproduction. And it just so happened that she gave the talk last Saturday, which was sort of really the tipping off point for the birthing season. The bears are really giving birth right now in their dens, and they will come out in mid-March. The story just gives you a bunch of fun facts about bears, including what was the largest bear ever to walk the planet and how many there are in Connecticut, 156 towns report bear sightings, and there are only 169 towns in the state. So pretty much everybody has bears. The wrap up is that what mother bears really teach their cubs is to climb a tree in case of any danger. It's the go-to situation. And so a lot of people have described to me how they've seen bears up in trees, and if they would just walk away, the bear would come down.
It's true. It happened to me many years, about 3 or 4 years ago. I had a big mama bear out in front of my house, growling at my dogs and my dogs barking at the bear. Finally, I put my dogs in the back of the house where they stopped barking. And about 5 minutes later, plop, 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 three bears came down out of the tree in front of my house.
Right. Well, when the cubs come out, their first venture out of the den, they actually can barely crawl, according to Ginny Apple. But they very soon learn how to climb a tree.
All right. Well, you know, you have another story on the front page. You have a school system that is pretty good when it comes for teacher retirement or employee retirement. And they're not only in the tens or teens, but at Region 1, it seems like it's always longer than that. And Region 1 is going to lose their pupil services head, who's been with many different positions in the region. Martha Schweikert will be retiring this year after 35 years.
Yes, and she draws a lot of accolades from the administration over there. She started out at Kent Center School in 1988, and she taught at Salisbury Central for 12 years, and then transferred over to Housatonic, and in her words, achieved her own personal goal of having taught in each grade level in the district. But she's leaving, and is, you know, quoted by Lisa Carter, the Region 1 superintendent, as just an outstanding educator who's devoted her life to, you know, teaching and supporting students. Board of Ed Chair Pat McCare also, you know, says very nice things about her. There were four other retirements falling out of the conversation, but we really focused on Martha Schweikert, rather.
A very sad story comes out of the Millerton News and in the Lakeville Journal about the death of Noah Thompson. He drowned after falling through ice and really has set off emotions in that area.
Yes, I think there are some really deeply sad tones to this story. Noah and a girlfriend, not necessarily a girlfriend, but a friend who was a girl, were visiting a pond, Iron Mine Pond, which is off Shagroy Road, off of Rudd Pond Road. And they were walking on the ice and he went in. The girl really tried to get him out of there. She also fell in, and she truly is a hero for everything she did to try to save him, but it didn't work. And so the school, he is a senior at Weebatuck High School, and the superintendent of schools over there immediately responded with grief counseling for everyone. The funeral's this week. It's a sad story.
All right, we'll move on. In Region 1, coming up tomorrow in Falls Village at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, student art will be shown to raise funds for Ukraine.
Yes, this is at the Art Garage, and it's tomorrow night. I'm sorry, Friday night from 4 to 8. I'm told that you better get there a little on the early side if you want parking, because they expect a pretty good sized crowd. But they've used blank envelopes as a canvas, and with a wide variety of techniques. And the proceeds will be donated to United 24 for medical care, and the Pritula Foundation for military aid, and to AmeriCare. So it's a wonderful thing the students are doing. We have a little Instagram post out there if anybody wants to see any more detail.
We'll kick a couple of stories from Kent now. First of all, adding a second trooper, it's not dead yet in Kent, as they're going to revisit the discussion to add that second trooper.
Right. A former state trooper in Kent, Andy Osef, who's lived in Kent, really going on more than 50 years, and served as a resident state trooper for about 7 years in the late 60s into the 70s, basically asked the town to rethink this. It was resoundingly defeated in a town vote 3-1 this past fall, and it was going to cost the town a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. So this story sort of explores, once again, this idea is coming back, and we'll see where it goes.
All right. And an interesting story. First of all, it was great to see thousands and thousands of calories back after a couple of year absence because of COVID. The Chocolate Fest was back at the school.
Oh, Marshall, I wish you could have written my headline for me. That would have been great. Calories make comeback. No, this is a sweet story, no pun, about proceeds for the Kent Center School Scholarship Fund. And you're right. It's after a 2-year hiatus. Chocolate lovers got together for the Chocolate Fest on last Wednesday, and everybody had a good time. Lots of sweet treats.
Now, in a sign that I think is a positive sign for our area, of course, Lakeville Journal has become nonprofit and has secured its future. And there's a group in Kent that is ready to revive that small town newspaper, the Kent Good Times Dispatch.
Yes, the Kent Good Times Dispatch was the Kent paper for almost, 3.5 decades. And died an untimely death, but is under revival talk now. And there was a meeting last Saturday. The Kent News Incorporated has become a nonprofit and wants to raise money to get this thing going again. So we have a little story by Patrick Sullivan and a photograph of what was a front page many years ago of the Kent Good Times Dispatch. So, like a couple of weeks ago, we did the story about the Winstead paper coming back. Here's another one that's surfacing.
And all under the banners of nonprofits, which is, of course, we know, I mean, that's the way we survive. Both the radio stations that were for profit in our area left our towns for bigger areas. Really out here, if you're going to do a public service like what we do, nonprofit is the way to go. So it's something that I think it's the future, I think, of being a successful newspaper or broadcast outlet, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we'll head back to Sharon for a second. Once again, after an absence, even though it wasn't a total absence, but the Sharon Audubon Maple Fest will be back in full on March the 12th.
Yes, that's another one of those sweet events. It's up at the Audubon Center up on Cornwall Bridge Road, and it will be held March 12th from noon to 4. There will be guided tours. They're suggesting that you wear some pretty heavy boots because it might be muddy. But there's a working sugar house. They will be showing that and being able to sample things up there at the center, including, you know, homemade baked goods, and as well as coffee and water for anybody who's ready for it.
And of course, throughout the day, about every hour, 45 minutes to an hour, these tours take off throughout the day that day. We'll go to Cornwall, where they are considering a composting service.
Yes, there was a group from Cornwall that went down and looked at the Litchfield facility, where they mix leaves, you know, collecting leaves and mixing them in with, you know, food scraps and other mixes, and turn out with a locally sourced compost that residents can come and use on their lawns and gardens. Gordon Ridgway was very impressed by this, and the board has approved a motion in Cornwall to apply to the state for a permit to add this service to the Cornwall Transfer Station. They think it would add a little bit of cost to the town, but they're up for it, and that's the next step.
All right, and we all saw before the winter came in a stretch of sidewalk which was added in Salisbury. Now more planning for a couple of more maybe stretches of sidewalk is now being talked about.
Yes, the Salisbury, you know, selectmen decided to go ahead and spend about $50,000 to extend the sidewalk from the firehouse on Brook Street to the point where it ends between the village centers of Salisbury and Lakeville, and another one north on Under Mountain Road to Cobble Road. So this will be, you know, these projects are teed up now, and they will be seeking some funds from the state DOT on rural improvements to pull this off. But the projects are definitely in the happening state.
All right, in Falls Village, after a lot of print in the news and talk on the radio on January 27th, the proposal for Frontier has been tabled.
Right. There isn't a whole lot of explanation here, not because we didn't really try to get it, but basically the Board of Finance decided at its meeting on last Monday that it just didn't have enough information to recommend the offer from Frontier. Frontier was going to connect about 20% of Falls Village households to fiber optic lines that are being installed in about 80% of the town. And without that information, without clarity, they decided to table the matter. So it hasn't moved ahead. It probably is not over yet.
All right. News out of Sharon, just a little bit of news that we'll pass along, that the town hall will be the site for electric vehicle chargers.
Yes, they're going to install two charging ports at the town hall, you know, that will basically be able to charge four cars at the same time. I believe these are level two chargers, which will take, you know, from 3 to 8 hours to charge. But the good news is that you can pull in there and get a little bit of a top off, or just get something you need to get another 40 miles or something with not too much time. The other piece of this story is there's another housing development being discussed in by the Village Residential Housing for 22 units at 82 Amenia Road and 67 Hospital Hill Road. That's not progressing on any rapid pace. There's a certain amount of concern among residents. Residents have hired an attorney around there to ask the right questions, but that's also another piece of that Sharon story.
All right, we'll move on to the opinion and letters to editors. Janet, your editorial, handing over the torch.
That's right. This is the week that Susan Hassler has taken over as the new publisher and CEO for the Lakeville Journal Company and Foundation. I'm still, of course, finishing off here, and there'll be a transition period, but people may feel as if, our readers may feel as if this has been going on for a while now, but this is actually the week, and so this is my editorial where I talk about, you know, what that means and how it looks going forward to me. I talk about the state of the newspapers, and so do give that a read. Many, many letters, which, you know, our new publisher, Susan, asked me, boy, how many letters do you get a week? And I said, you know, it's really not predictable, because take a look at this week's, you know, middle of February, and we have two full pages of letters, and every single one is an interesting topic, well thought out, carefully written. Give them all a read. You'll find it'll take you a whole week to do it.
It's something that I've noticed probably since the beginning of COVID, that you've always had great participation from readers, but it's been even more focused. And the great thing about it is, yeah, there's some national stuff in here, but 90% of it is civil conversation about local issues.
Yeah, really important local issues, and ones that deserve discussion and deserve civilized and well thought out discussion. So this is where we can have this happen.
We've got Sharon, a letter likely about the Sharon Hospital, PCU, the Pope property. Once again, there's about the story about the Winston at Phoenix and Chocolate Fest and more. I mean, and like I said, covering all ranges of issues.
Right. Don't miss James Payton's letter on Troutbeck in Amenia, New York. Troutbeck's proposed expansion, possibly posing a threat to a shared aquifer. And where that shared aquifer is between Sharon, Connecticut and Amenia, New York. So this is meaningful to both of our readerships. And this letter is in both the Millerton News and the Lakeville Journal.
It's a testament to what local journalism is all about. That's exactly what I'll put along there. But also, you know, and I've had questions about this, and this is something that the newspapers have covered, especially at Millerton News, a letter on Troutbeck's proposed expansion.
Yes, that's the one that James Payton wrote, yep. And it is in both papers. And we have a story in the Millerton News this week on the most recent public hearing on this expansion. It's been an ongoing discussion and some controversy. So do follow this. It's important to the region, not just Amenia.
So now I've got to ask you, Janet, you're still going to pick up those papers and actively be involved in the community, so we all know that Janet Manco is well and about?
Well, that's a nice question, but that's certainly my plan. We can never foresee everything in life. However, I have no plans to move, and I will be here, and I'm very committed to our community. So happy to be here.
All right. Will you be with us next week?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. We're taking it day by day, week by week. See how things progress.
All right.
We won't leave you high and dry.
Let's go to Compass. Once again, a pretty big issue of Compass, John.
Yes, this one leads off with a really important interview and discussion with Richard Haas, who is a... he's the president of the Council of Foreign Relations and a longtime diplomat who has written a book called The Bill of Obligations, the 10 Habits of Good Citizens book just came out, and he was signing his book at Trent, New York, in Amenia, right on the corner there of 22 and that downtown Amenia. And Leela Hawken, our intrepid reporter who lives in Amenia, was there, and not by accident, she was there. And she interviewed him, and he says a lot of very interesting things and comments on his book, but it's all about engaging yourself as a citizen at this really crucial time in our history where questions are being raised about our democracy. And, you know, his quote was, we need a serious conversation about how to get democracy back on track. He's promoting the idea of civics classes that were held. I certainly had one myself in the seventh grade, but they've disappeared. And he notes in his conversation with Leela that Stanford University is going to require every entering freshman to take a civics class. The New Jersey state schools are moving along in that direction. So this is a great story. It's very thoughtful. He gets into really the idea of where we are in our current democracy.
Well, go on.
Yeah. And well, there's more in the Compass. There's a wonderful story by Alexander Wilburn, who reports about students up at Salisbury School under the leadership of Ronan McChrisky, who's been helping them investigate lesser known accounts of Black and Indigenous and Hispanic history in the Northwest corner. And this one explores how a painting of Maria Coffing and Jane Winslow by Edmund White was restored by Valentine Michalski. A thorough cleaning revealed much more about this painting than anyone knew. And it's a great piece by Alex, very well written. We also have Gianna Siller writing about the Falls Village Equity Project, which, as some of you may remember, was doing some things last year on sidewalks in Falls Village. But it's a collaborative group of residents in Falls Village who gather to advance cultural diversity and equity. And one little calendar item on the Sharon Playhouse, you know, opening auditions for the 2023 summer and fall season. And that opens up, they're going to start on Sunday, March 19th. So people who want to get on that stage better get out there.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Some of the stories you'll find in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News this week. TriCornerNews.com is the website. And of course, pick up at local areas, local stores around our area. And also, you can get it delivered by mail right to your home. Guys, maybe even Janet, we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.